Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, let me play football.
I'm coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome back to another edition, and hopefully not the final episode for the 2016 season of the BehindTheSteelCurtain.com podcast, The Standard is the Standard. I'm Jeff Hartman, editor of Behind the Steel Curtain, and who will be joining me shortly will be none other than Christopher Carter, fellow contributor to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. My normal co-host, Lance Williams, is unable to be here with us. But we have reinforcements that will be joining us shortly. As always, if you want to talk anything Steelers-related, you can do so by calling 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Anything Steelers-related is on the table. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to recap the Baltimore Ravens game, as dismal and as horrible a performance as it was. We're going to talk about Coach Mike Tomlin and whether or not he deserves all of the blame for his poor record against sub-500 teams. We're going to talk about, obviously, the Steelers' playoff hopes, Jets versus Bills, and how important that is for the Steelers, as well as the upcoming game against the Cleveland Browns. While we wait for my normal co-host to join me, let's see if we can get a caller who calls in. I believe this is our good friend Vito. Vito, how's it going, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen. On the eve of New Year's Eve, I guess we could hope for the best, but Jeff, the only thing I could think of is this. I don't think that the Jets are going to have a letdown. I think they're going to go into Buffalo and take care of business. They know what's at stake, just like Pittsburgh know what's at stake. But unfortunately, quarterback, every team goes through those games, and I don't think we could blame Tomlin for last week's loss, because clearly reading the posts on Behind the Steel Curtain today, what you guys posted, when you broke down Ben's mistakes, those are mistakes that I think, you know, that he should have known better. I mean, he's a veteran guy, and I know they're entitled to making these mistakes, but if you remember when he came back against the Bengals that first game, the defense did a great job. I mean, they held them to, what, 13 points? They were winning that game. If Ben doesn't force those two throws in the fourth quarter, there was a good chance that we come away with a win in that game. So, again, are these mental mistakes? Is he just trying to make too many things happen? Is he too confident maybe sometimes, or too cocky? Because it seems like when he goes for the big play, that's where the problems occur. Because you see that there was a lot of underneath routes that were wide open, 4 or 5 yards. Take those. Take those all day long, because those 4 or 5 yards keep the drives alive, and then you may get a bigger play as a result of it. But at the end of the day, if you got 4 or 5 yards every time you handed the ball off, or you threw those short dink-and-dunk passes, you're still going to get a score. You're still going to get down the field into, either field goal range or possibly even get lucky and make a nice throw and someone runs it in for a touchdown. So I don't know if we could blame it on the coaches so much as far as him maybe making some mental mistakes in that game. And I guess that's normal. He's a human being like we are. And from time to time, focus, you know, maybe is lost, or maybe, you know, he was trying to do a little bit too much, or he second-guessed himself, like you said. And, I don't know. I don't know if the Jets are going to have a letdown like that. I don't think they would. I mean, is it possible? There's always that small possibility, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to make that same mental mistake. I mean, anything could happen, though. I'll leave it in your hands. You guys are the experts at this. Tell me what you think.
Well, I'll first chime in on Roethlisberger and the offense. I think that this group And this is as much Todd Haley as it is Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Ben Roethlisberger, all the way down the offensive roster. I think it's a very arrogant bunch. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe the word confident is a better word to use to describe them. It doesn't have that negative connotation that arrogant or, you know, cocky has with it. But at the same time, I think that they're a team that thinks that the offense that they have, they don't need to take just what they're giving them. They're going to take what they want. And they think that no matter what, they can push the ball down the field. They can make plays down the field. And that's why you've seen them. I mean, look at the last time they played the Bengals and that interception to Reggie Nelson. A lot of people shook that off because Roethlisberger was essentially a punt. It was a long throw. But there was no need for him to make that pass. He could have just taken what was given, like you said, and he took the shot down the field into double coverage, and more often than not this year it's been intercepted. Roethlisberger has been very risky with the ball, and it's a risk-reward. Anytime you put the football up into a contested situation, there's a chance it's going to be intercepted. And kudos to defensive players for making the plays, but at the same time, you hope that your quarterback, especially someone that everyone says is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer, makes better decisions with the football. Now, I can't say it enough, and Mike Tomlin said it to start off his press conference on Tuesday, and he said it all season. When the Steelers win the turnover battle, they win pretty much every time. And if they lose it, they have a horrible record. And so Roethlisberger has thrown a lot of interceptions in a short amount of time on the field so far in 2015, and a lot of it comes down to him. You know, against Baltimore, they ran the ball well in the first half. That's not the makeup of this team, but instead of coming out and saying, look, we're going to just hit Heath Miller for 5 yards a clip, we're going to keep getting first downs, we're going to continually, you know, churning the clock and eating up clock and all that good stuff, they didn't want to do it. They wanted to just keep on trying to take those risks, and then they end up getting burned. So I think that it's an offense. You look at especially the last seven games, the last week's game was certainly the aberration, not the norm. So I think that if the Steelers are going to bounce back, they're going to do it against the Browns, even if it's in Cleveland. I certainly don't think that the Browns have a very difficult they're a difficult test for the Steelers, but then again, neither were the Ravens. In terms of what you said about the Jets, though, Vito, I will say this. I think the Jets can lose that football game because I look at their roster, and yes, they still have Brandon Marshall, and Eric Decker is playing much better. But at the same time, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a superstar quarterback. He's due for mistakes. And if there's one game, if I were to say, okay, the Jets are going to lose one game, and it's going to be Week 17, and New England's already lost anything up, I'm going to pick the Bills. It's at home. It's in Buffalo. Rex Ryan going against his former team. Trust me, he wants to send them home. He doesn't want them in the playoffs. When he leaves and guarantees the playoffs and isn't able to do it. And I think that you have a quarterback in Fitzpatrick that is due to make some mistakes. The Bills have beaten the Jets already this year. They've beaten them a lot in the past 2 years. I have no doubt in my mind that they're going to be able to actually win this football game. Now, will it happen? Hey, you never know. In the NFL, you never know. But I don't think it's as doomsday as some fans are making out to be. Claire, if you're here with us now, what do you think about the whole situation?
Man, first of all, let me say this. I brought up after the Sunday game, you know, about my friends who are Bills fans who think that at any point in time, they could be up 30 points and it doesn't matter, they're going to lose. And I've actually seen those kind of things happen to Bills fans. But, like you said, Rex Ryan wants to beat this team very badly. If you saw when the Bills beat them earlier this season, he celebrated like a little kid on Christmas morning. After they won, I mean, he was so ecstatic, and I think he wants to sweep them as much as he can. And you know, every team wants to win every week, but this could mean a whole lot to them. And I mean, ESPN, I think Adam Schefter released that the Bills made a statement saying that they were sticking with Rex Ryan and Doug Whalen for another year at least. You know, they're as far as their head coach and GM, but you better believe it. They're trying to end this season on a strong note, and the Jets. Very much, they're coming off a big win, a huge win, probably their biggest win. Definitely their biggest win of the season, in beating the New England Patriots. Who's to say that they can't have a drop-off game and lose to a team like the Buffalo Bills? I think it's very possible. I also think it's not a comfortable position to be in if you're a Steelers fan. So for me, I'm like, man, we got to rely on the Bills. But at the same time, you know, it's a toss-up. It's a coin flip. It's not a game that's set in stone. Like, man, you know, we're just out already. Like, and there's no hope. So I definitely think there's a shot. And you know, it's definitely something to keep tabs on while you're watching the Steelers Browns game on Sunday.
What do you think, Vito? You convinced they're going to win, or what?
It's hard to say. I mean, I want to say that Buffalo's going to get it done, but you know, they had a lot of poise against New England, and you know, some people are saying that New England gave the ball to them in overtime because they didn't want Pittsburgh to get in. And they're thinking that Belichick might have just done that as a way to say, hey, you know what, Steelers are going to lose, and now it's going to make it tougher for them to get in because a lot of teams don't want to face them. You know, look, there's a lot of people who don't like our organization. And, well, let's face it, because we're a classy organization. We've won 6 Super Bowls. But the one thing I always wonder is why can a team like New England and a team like Denver be in the playoffs over the last 5 years, where Pittsburgh's been there once, maybe in the last 5 years, or maybe twice. You know, we should be able to be there just as much as these teams are. And I think one of the big problems that I've been noticing the last few weeks is our pass rush is not that good. And we're starting to see Bud Dupree doesn't seem like he could get to anybody like he was getting earlier in the year. And I guess what's happening is he's wearing down because he's not used to being in a full season like this, so you could see him not being able to get pressure on the quarterback because Mallett just had way too much time last week. That's number one. But let's think of this. Even though the pass rushes are not getting to the guy, they only put up 20 points. So if we could consistently, all we had to do was put up 24 points and the game's over, right? Maybe the 4th-and-1 play where we don't go for the field goal and go for the first down, if we kick the field goal and make it there, all of a sudden it's 20-20. We're going into overtime. But again, 6 weeks in a row, we were able to put up 30 points. So it's just, to me, it was a little bit of a shock that we couldn't do that in this game, especially with a defense that wasn't nearly as good as the other defense. I mean, Cincinnati's defense is much better. Denver's defense is probably one of the best right now, right? Seahawks are supposed to be a very good defense, and we were able to put up 30 points in those teams as well. So I'm just, it's just weird the way that whole game played out last week. It really is. How they'd go in there and the focus wouldn't be that good. I mean, Martavis Bryant had one catch all day. Here's a guy that's supposed to be a superstar. And if you notice, he didn't have a good day last week. Marcus Wheaton didn't really have a good day. He only had 40 yards. So it's so weird the way that game happened when the last 6 weeks we were on fire. I don't understand why it happens the way it does, but you guys are experts. You know better than me. Maybe it's just they're burnt out. It could be anything.
Well, you know, it could be a mixture of the two, Vito. And we're going to talk a lot about that in today's show. We thank you for calling. Hope you have a good New Year, by the way.
You guys have a good New Year's and good luck this weekend. Hopefully everything works out the way it should.
Have a New Year, Vito.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right, Chris, welcome to the show. For those that are just joining us now, Chris is a little tardy. He's going to be fine. Don't worry about that. We're going to make sure that he pays his penance for the from being late. But still, I'm kind of fired up. Last night I was sitting in my computer, and as most people know, I like to get a full page ready for BehindTheSteelCurtain.com every morning. So I'm at my computer, kids are in bed, and I'm writing, and I just get on the Behind the Steel Curtain Twitter account, and I start talking to some fans, and next thing you know, it just turns into basically a Tomlin hate fest. Now, this is something, this is a segment I did a lot last year, and Chris, you'll remember this, and with Lance Ron, he would know what I'm talking about. I'm a big golfer. I'm a pretty decent golfer. I've been golfing my whole life, and this is called Jeff's Teed Off segment. It was basically a chance for me to get something off my chest, and so I'm going to kind of dust off the teed off segment here at the beginning of the show. I only saved it to the end. I'm like, no, let's get it out of the way. I don't understand the hate on Mike Tomlin, okay, and for multiple reasons. And I'm a coach. I've coached high school athletics, never higher than that. I'm not going to say that I'm a professional coach. But if anyone coaches any competitive level athletics, high school or higher, you know that there's only so much a coach can do. I have coached games where I have told my team that a lesser opponent coming into the game, they need to be focused, they need to be prepared, they need to remember everything that we've covered on the week up to preparation, And guess what? The players don't take you seriously. You could sit there and smack every single one of them in the face multiple times and tell them and throw cold water on them that they're going to beat you if you have this mentality. And if they don't do it, you know what happens? You go out on the field and you lose. And it's happened on more than one occasion in my tenure, my 11 years of being a head coach, and it's happened to the best coaches that you can think of. But here's another thing that gets me going, is the comparisons to Bill Cowher. Okay, Bill Cowher was a great coach. He had a lot of wins in his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He also was a horrible, horrible, horrible big game coach. Okay, I mean, he lost in the AFC Championship game, I believe, three times, and at least two of those, they were heavily favored to win, and they were always at home. Okay, now he did win Super Bowl 40, and that's fantastic, but he also had three losing seasons, 7-9 and 2-6-10 years, and then he finished with 8-8 before he ended up leaving the team. People want to criticize Mike Tomlin, and they want to bring back Cowher, not physically, but they want to talk about him as, oh my gosh, Bill Cowher, he's everything that we wanted in a coach. Do you forget what some of those years were like? Do you remember the 6-10 year that in 2003 with Tommy Maddox that led to Ben Roethlisberger being drafted in 2004? Do you remember that stuff? Do you remember what it felt like? Bill Cowher, people wanted him fired too. And that's what I think people need to forget. And everyone that wants to talk about it, and Vito brought it up as well, that first drive of the game against the Ravens should have kicked the field goal. Well, look, guess what? In the NFL, you don't get hindsight. In life, you don't get hindsight. No one can sit there and be like, well, that was a bad decision. Let's go back and redo that. You can't do it. Mike Tomlin has been as aggressive as a football coach as I've seen in my lifetime in 2015, whether it's the two-point conversions, whether it's going for it on fourth down. I sat there in my house in my hometown of Wheeling, West Virginia, with my father, and I said, they're going to go for it. Because why not? You make it more than you don't in this situation, and unfortunately they didn't. You can talk about the play call all you want, but don't gripe about, oh my gosh, it changed the momentum of the game. BS. That was the first drive of the game. Would points have been nice? Yes. Would the defense not giving up a touchdown on the next drive have been nice? Yes. Would the Steelers maybe doing better than 2 out of 8 on third down conversions been nice? Yes, that would have been really nice. And how about the defense not being 9 for giving them 9 of 18 third down conversions? I don't understand why people don't look at the players and say, well, you know what, maybe they didn't execute. And then people always throw out the whole, well, you know, Mike Tomlin brought the players in, blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of crap, okay? Coaches coach, players play. You want to say that he didn't have them prepared, that's fine. I don't see that. I thought they were prepared. They just went out and played a really, really crappy football game. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Roethlisberger looked like crap. The defense looked like crap. No one could get pressure on Ryan Mallett. And the secondary couldn't stop anyone, which is not a new trend. I'm just sick and tired of everyone bashing Mike Tomlin, who, mind you, since 2007 has never had a losing season. And is about to, with a win on Sunday, regardless of postseason, birth, and all that stuff, is about to have a 10-win season when he had his best offensive player, Le'Veon Bell, suspended for the first 3 games and lost for the year mid-season. His all-pro center, Marquise Pouncey, is gone for the entire year. They haven't put him on IR, but let's be honest. His first-round pick has gone out and played pretty well. His second-round draft pick was lost for the year early with a shoulder injury. He lost so many players with these injuries, and Ryan Shazier's been in and out of the lineup. He's kept it together. Ben Roethlisberger, for 4 games, he kept it together with Michael Vick and Landry Jones. Show me anyone that said, if I would say to anybody, okay, you're going to lose Pouncey, Roethlisberger for 4 games, Le'Veon Bell's going to be done. The only draft pick you're going to have that's really going to do anything for you is Dupree. He's only going to have 4 sacks. Your defense is going to give up the most yardage in the air from basically one of the worst passing defenses in the Steelers' history. If you're going to win 10 games, what would you say, Chris?
I would have said you're crazy to think all that. If you would have told me that Bell had been out as many games for the season after being there for, what, 3 games? And then Pouncey being out for the whole season, Beecham being out for most of the season, and then Ben missing and 4 games. That's just the total games he was out. If you add up the time he was out for the Rams game and the Raiders game that he got knocked out of, that's probably 5 games that he really missed. I mean, come on. Yeah. I'm sitting here sipping on my bourbon and just saying, Jeff, salute to everything that you're saying right now. But yes. entirely. I would have said you're crazy if you said that the Steelers got 10 wins with all the stuff that they've had to deal with this season.
That's the thing. No one wants to give Tomlin credit for that, but they want to criticize him for the bad play of his players on Sunday. He has had a great season as a coach, in my opinion. Not many coaches would have been able to do that. He started 3 quarterbacks this year, and he's the only one out of this group that's done that is in playoff contention entering week 17. So kudos to Mike Tomlin. I know he doesn't listen to the show. He'd probably rather rip his fingernails out than do that. But anyone that's listening, I give kudos to Mike Tomlin. You might hate him for whatever reason, but you know what? He's a good coach. There's no way in heck that his seat should even be have a heat warmer on it. Man, that thing should be covered in ice because he's about to win 10 games, in my opinion. And he might, just might, get into the playoffs. And if he does, nobody wants to play this team. No one. I don't care what happened in Week 16. If they get in, they're dangerous. Chris, you can go ahead and you can move on to the next topic if you want, or you can chime in on that as well. That's up to you. What do you think?
Look, you know what? You know what, Jeff? You're absolutely right. And I am with you. I am tired of the Tomlin accusations. I have my own theory that's behind what a lot of people are saying with their Tomlin hating ways. Because everything, I mean, if you remember, someone on our website wrote a whole article, and it was at least like 1,000 words long, about how Tomlin was to blame for Sean Swedem getting injured in the preseason. Like, he gets blamed for everything. The Challenger shuttle, that was Tomlin's fault. The economy's in trouble, that's Tomlin's fault. Everything is Tomlin's fault these days. There was a hilarious post that someone was on by the name of Damon Young. It's actually his birthday today. But he wrote an article saying that Tomlin was President Obama of Pittsburgh because he could do many things right and people will blame him for things that he never was responsible for. And that is just he always takes the flack for things. And yes, there are times that I'm just sitting there like, why are we doing this? Why, you know, what is the thought process here? But usually in all the things that he says, at least he has an ideology. He has a plan. He has something that he has drawn up. Like the team, they believe in themselves. They want to be aggressive. That's why they go for two. That's why they go for it on fourth down. And like Ben even brought up after the game, Ramon Foster tripped over Ben's leg on the fourth down play. If Ramon Foster makes that block, maybe Williams gets that first down, and maybe they score in the open possession. It's a whole different ball game. It's not as if Mike Tomlin puts them in situations where they're going to lose. He's not a Chip Kelly like Chip Kelly, who just got fired from the Eagles today. He is a guy who has put this team in so many opportunities to win. He trains them to have every opportunity to take advantage of opportunities that are in front of them. Many people forget that if you didn't watch the America's Game, the NFL's special on every Super Bowl champion, where they talk to the coaches and players about their Super Bowl seasons. In the Super Bowl 43 year, when the Steelers won, Mike Tomlin woke up in the middle of the night and said, I have a problem with the way that we're returning interceptions and that no one's turning and going to block people. And he practiced that the week of the Super Bowl. And then in the Super Bowl, you see blocking for James Harrison to score that touchdown. And without that touchdown, Pittsburgh might not win their 6th Super Bowl. That's a whole other theory to go through. But it's arguably the greatest play in the history of football, not just the Super Bowl, but history of football. And that's something that came from his work ethic. The things that are coming from his 2-point conversions, the kick, the having the extra point move back, and having the Steelers have been the most advantageous team on 2-point conversion opportunities, that's something that he designed, he planned. And it wasn't that he skirted the rules. He said, hey, NFL, I think this would be a good rule change. If you make this happen, more people will go for two. And what did we do? We started going for two more, and we're getting more points of it. We're putting more pressure on our opponents. And I think that we've made some of our wins a little bit easier because we've been able to go for two. That's something that no one's giving him credit for being, and people call other people geniuses. Mike McCarthy's a genius. Bill Belichick's a genius. This guy's a genius for doing some random things. Mike Tomlin has done a lot of really great things. If you read Jason Whitlock, said he's not an X's and O's guy, and he's not a real football coach. He's just a player's guy. I was so infuriated by the article. I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about if you don't think that Mike Tomlin knows football. Heck, I want to write an open letter to Mike Tomlin saying, hey, not everybody hates you. Because I love Mike Tomlin. I think this time I banged my head against the wall with how the Steelers play, like every other fan. But at the end of the day, I know this team is coming to win. And you saw how after the game, everybody was saying, we didn't overlook the Ravens. We just didn't come. We just made mistakes. And you look at Ben Roethlisberger telling me that Mike Tomlin told him to throw two interceptions to throw really bad passes that led to the problems in that game. That's not a coaching thing. That's just that we made mistakes with the scheme in place thing. So I'm totally with you, Jeff. The Tomlin thing is so outrageous to me. People are crazy if they think that Mike Tomlin is the sole reason why we do not have a Super Bowl since 2008, even though that he was the coach when we won in 2008. He's rebuilt this team, and he's still rebuilding, really. But he has broken down the team that we had before. Because people always talk about the players that he inherited. Bill Cowher inherited two Hall of Fame players in Rod Woodson and Jermaine Dawson, as well as several other elite players of their own era in Greg Lloyd, LeVon Kirkland, and other players of that time. It helped them get to Super Bowl 30 and when they lost to the Cowboys. And yet, he did not have a franchise quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger at the time. But he did have great players under him. He had opportunities, and he didn't get it done early. And that's not to say that it was a bad thing on his part, but it's an is, much like people put on Tomlin is an is for not winning since 2008. Now, Tomlin comes in. The team was 8-8. The team was struggling. They had a hard year, and he changed their workout regimen. He made them work harder, and they were all like, whoa, he's a lot more serious than Bill Cowher was. And you can go back in America's Game, and they will tell you that. Because people also say that he's easy on the guys. And if you know anything about Mike Tomlin, he is not easy on his guys. He gets in their face just as much as anybody, and even more than anybody else. But for the many accusations that he goes up against, it is ridiculous. Many of them are unfounded. It's people that are mad. They hate it when your team loses, and they want to point to an excuse. And Mike Tomlin, being a head coach that a lot of people didn't agree with why he was hired or when he was hired, a lot of people were mad, and they said, oh, he got hired because of the Rooney Rule, because the Rooney Rule, you know, enacted and said, let's get more minority coaches in the game, even though he wasn't hired because of the Rooney Rule, because they already interviewed Ron Rivera. A lot of people were mad because they thought he was hired for a reason outside of being a great head coach. And that has stuck with people since then. I mean, even Bob Pompiani, he has to deal with callers every day. I mean, literally, when they blew out the Ravens last year and scored the back-to-back six touchdown weeks, people were calling and saying, oh, he's doing this with Tomlin's or with Cowher's players because of Heath Miller and Ben Roethlisberger, because those are like the only two left other than James Harrison. But he has to deal with ridiculous stuff all the time, Jeff. It's insane. It's insensible. People need to get over it. If the Steelers don't make the playoffs this year, it's because of a number of reasons. One of the least of them is because Mike Tomlin was the head coach. I'd say of the most of them, they lost their all-pro running back that was putting up Walter Payton numbers last year. They lost their all-pro Pro Bowl center. He's never missed a Pro Bowl since he's played more than 8 games in a season. And they lost their left tackle, and Ben Roethlisberger missed almost 5 games. So I point to any of those reasons, as well as the fact that they had the hardest schedule in the league. The Steelers faced – there are 7 top defenses that are ranked in the top 6, because at least coming into this past week, there were 2 teams tied at 6. I think there were only 2 of those 7 teams that the Steelers had not faced in this season. They faced the Seahawks. They had the number 3 defense. They faced the Bengals twice. They faced the Broncos. They faced the Patriots, who are the second leading team in sacks. They faced the Chiefs. All those teams that they play, those are top defenses. And that's not mentioning the offenses that they faced. The Bengals at one point led the league in points per game. The Cardinals led the league in points per game at one point. The Patriots led the league in points per game at one point. They have faced so many top-ended opponents, and they are in the position to be 10-6 at the end of the season despite all these injuries. Come on, man. I hate that segment. I think it's a ripoff from what Jacked Up was, which was a great segment. But come on, man. For real? You're mad at Tomlin because of this? This, you can't place all the blame on him. I'm with you, man. I'm teed off. That's why I went on a bit of a rant. I usually like to shorten my rants, but I am so with you, Jeff. We could talk about something else if you want, like talking about this Cleveland game or what we need to do, because apparently we'll be facing Austin Davis. But apparently Ryan Mallett can come in and light our defense up, so we need to be scared of anyone. Jeff, if you could play quarterback, maybe you should sign up for the Browns, and you could, like, throw the game if they actually hire you. And then, like, that way we're actually guaranteed a win. So, but that's my stance for the Tomlin issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jason Whitlock saying he doesn't know the X's and O's is ludicrous, because there's no way he would have been a defensive coordinator prior to being a head coach if he didn't know the X's and O's. Last I checked, you don't hire someone to run an entire defensive unit when you don't know the X's and O's of football. But I digress. We have a caller that's been waiting. Maybe he wants to chime in on the Mike Tomlin conversation, or maybe he just wants to talk about the upcoming game or playoff scenario. Let's take this caller on the air, 347-406. Go ahead. You're on with Jeff and Chris.
Jeff and Chris, what's up, man? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Bryce from Brooklyn.
What's up, Bryce?
What's going on, fellas? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, man.
Yeah. So I do want to chime in on the Tomlin thing, and then just some comments on the Steelers v. Browns. You know, Chris, if you get a chance, go to SoundCloud, type in long form, and listen to the Ta-Nehisi Coates interview where he talks about Whitlock at the end. You can believe every word he says about Whitlock. It'll tell you exactly what that guy's like. It's really interesting. As Ta-Nehisi said, I should say Ta-Nehisi, Whitlock likes to live out loud, like, and be polarizing, and that's his thing, and everyone's got their shtick. But for people to talk about Mike Tomlin and say he's the number one reason why the team isn't doing well, they better go back and look at times that Cowher struggled. Three seasons without the playoffs, 2006, Tomlin inheriting an 8-8 team, and what they've been able to do with this team, even with some of the offensive line talent that wasn't there, and how they've been able to build up the team and kind of switch the team from being that ground-and-pound style to now having a quarterback franchise guy that was maturing to playing the style that keeps you successful here in the NFL. Tomlin is, to me, a top-five coach. Is he perfect? Mm-hmm. No. Is it... have him and Colbert missed on the secondary, and that's what I think one of their biggest problems right now is, because when they're not getting pressure, they don't have the guys in there that can really plaster receivers. Yeah, is that a problem? Yes. Does he sometimes give a little too much leeway to the coordinators, who I think can wet the bed at times, particularly Todd Haley? Over the years, has he kind of had some wet the bed moments? Of course. But any coach can do that. I mean, you even had the great Bill Belichick totally botching the kickoff in the overtime. I mean, coaches do this from time to time. But Tomlin, to me, is a great coach. Not a perfect coach, but none of them are. Aside from Belichick, there aren't too many other coaches I would like to have, and I think Tomlin's a really good head guy.
I hear you, Bryce.
Yeah.
I hear you, Bryce, entirely.
Yeah. Go ahead,
Bryce.
No. I was going to say, you guys, what are your thoughts on that and what I said?
Chris, go ahead.
So, first of all, and Vito brought this up, I forgot to chime in on this when I first spoke. There are people who really believe that Bill Belichick threw the game because of the Steelers.
Oh, jeez.
As much as I hate Bill Belichick, and as much as I think is that he is as close to his Emperor Palpatine in Star Wars as you can get in the NFL, there is no way that he threw that game. I think it was a stupid decision to kick the ball off when you just had Tom Brady lead a drive to score a touchdown to tie the game and send it to overtime. It seems stupid to me, but you know what? The guy's got 4 Super Bowl rings, and I do not. So I'm not going to say that he's stupid for that. I think the decision was foolhardy, and that was that. But in no way did he look at the scoreboard and say, wow, the Steelers lost. Let's throw this game, gentlemen. And that was not going through my mind. So if you're thinking that right now, call in and argue me and tell me that I'm wrong and tell me that this man really planned that. That's that thought. But, yes, you were absolutely right. He's a top-five coach in this league. He has his issues. He does seem to have his problems with different parts of the league. There's times when he said he doesn't look at the clock
right.
as his issue, which there are times that I disagree with Tomlin. But it's hard. It's funny for me because as a guy who has been a fan of Tomlin since he's shown like his character and everything, I have been a guy that has defended him so much that it seems like that I appreciate everything he does. And it's like, no, I don't. But I love the way he carries himself. People get on the way that he talks to the media and how he just, he has his sayings that don't mean anything. Yes, because he doesn't want to give the media anything to work off of. Don't you understand? That's what Chip Kelly does. That's what, Rex Ryan does. That's what all these other coaches do. Bill Belichick don't give you nothing to work with. Do you think he wants to be Dennis Green and Herman Edwards just not having a job and but except the only time you ever hear about them is when they play their video clips or Jim Mora? Playoffs, or you play to win the game, or we had him, those type of moments. Do you think he wants to? No, he responds to the media in order to negate anything or to neutralize any of their attempts to try and get inside of his head, to get inside the Steelers locker room, and to protect the sanctity that is their thinking space of how to be a better team. And he does that better, as good as anyone could ask for in the NFL. Because I've never seen him riled up. The closest I ever saw him to being pissed off is when someone kept questioning him about the Patriots and the headsets at the beginning of this season. Because he did look teed off, like, listen, if you ask one more question about this, I'm gonna slap you in the face. That was the read that I got off of the way he was answering those questions. But as far as Mike Tomlin and being a head coach, I could not ask for a person that I would be happier for. I mean, I could, but I'd say Chuck Knoll. But, Chuck Knoll is one of the greatest coaches. No, he's the greatest coach of all time. Forget everyone else what else said. That is my GOAT coach. But as far as this era, I don't – Bill Belichick is a guy that he cheats. I don't want him on my team because he cheats. I don't want him because, when he ran away from Tom Coughlin in Super Bowl 42 when they lost in their perfect season, he shows no sportsmanship when he loses when he didn't expect to lose. And people even said when they lose and he goes up to – when he went up to Rex Ryan after Rex Ryan beat him in the playoffs the year that we went to the Super Bowl against the Packers, he blew off Rex Ryan. And Rex Ryan, he shook his hand, but he didn't like, congratulate him or nothing. Right. Mike Tomlin, when he loses, he congratulates the other coach. The one time you can say that he didn't do that is when Charlie Batch beat the Ravens, and oh my God, that was an amazing feeling. But when Mike Tomlin, he walked up to Harbaugh, he dapped him up real quick, and then he hit up Flacco, and then he ran to the locker room because he wanted to greet all the Steelers players after such an amazing win that kept their playoff hopes alive that season. That's the one time that you can say that he lost his I'm a head coach mentality. Was when he was too amped up and he had to go splav his players before they got to the locker room in M&T Bank Stadium. So, for people that – Bryce, you're absolutely right. He's a top-five coach. People that get on him, they have their own reasons to get on him, and that's a whole other story. But
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, finish.
To that point, two things. One, personally – I get that Tomlin doesn't give, he doesn't give a lot of sound bites like a Rex Ryan does to the media. I actually, though, find Tomlin very forthright when they ask him certain questions, like about what he feels about being called a player's coach, or about what he feels about the Rooney Rule, or when they ask him, what was your decision into running a certain play? Mike Tomlin will go into great detail to explain, this is what I thought, I'm standing by it, I own it. I tell you who doesn't do that, Chip Kelly. When you hear Chip Kelly, it's always it was like not my fault, Walt Harris. It's never Chip Kelly's fault, which is why he's on his butt outside because you didn't hear that guy really till the end want to take any responsibility for anything, but he wanted all the power. Tomlin's a stand-up coach. I find him very forthright. I find him very informative. And then when you talk about like what happened with Harbaugh with that handshake, and then at the Cincinnati game when he got into it with a player, I always see Tomlin being very direct with people. I see Tomlin being straight up with people. And like you said, the things that people get on Tomlin about, I don't see them getting on, say, Bill Belichick. I love how you brought up that Giants game and how he didn't go up to any of the Giants defensive players to congratulate them on a heck of a game. This is coming from a defensive coach. Those guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, Chris, you're a defensive guy. Those guys have a certain camaraderie. You go up and shake Michael Strahan's hand after that game, after the performance he did in leading the troops. And that guy didn't do any of that. And it lets you know into that guy's psyche about how he views the game and where he sees himself in terms of the game. He's not a good role model in terms of young coaches and players to look at. He's really not. They have the appearance of that. But I would take Tomlin as being that role model over Bill Belichick any day. So, this idea that Tomlin doesn't kind of do things the right way or he's not the right guy to lead is just ridiculous. Yes, clock management. Yes, have him and Colbert not done enough to address the secondary? I think you can make a very strong argument for that. But overall, Coach Tomlin has done a really good job.
Yeah, and just to kind of chime in quickly before we move on to our next topic, I think that every single coach in the National Football League has their shortcomings in some way or another. And people want to rib Mike Tomlin's clock management, especially David Todd of ESPN 970. But at the same time, he's not giving away games because of time management. Look at what Tom Coughlin's done this year with the New York Giants. That has cost them games. That's dangerous clock management, in my opinion. So I look at it and say that, honestly, no coach is perfect. Bill Cowher had his issues in terms of game plan, philosophy. He was very stubborn as a head coach. And Mike Tomlin shows some of the same characteristics, but also is more lenient in certain areas. So in that aspect, I think that for some reason, and there's a lot of multiple reasons, some of which I don't want to get into on the show, there are a lot of issues with Mike Tomlin as a head coach, but I like him. I think he's a good coach. I think he's good for the team. One of the most telling things for me is every offseason they do a poll of the NFL players and say, if there's one coach you could play for in the National Football League, who would it be? He is always a top three selection by the NFL players. Normally it's Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, and then Mike Tomlin's up there with those guys. And that means that if they have a free agent and they have the option to make the same amount of money somewhere, let's say in like a Jacksonville, and then the same amount of money in Pittsburgh, they'll go and play for Mike Tomlin. Don't think D'Angelo Williams didn't have suitors other than Pittsburgh, and he chose Pittsburgh for a reason. I think Mike Tomlin was one of those reasons. But let's move on, Bryce. I know you said you have some other stuff you wanted to get to. Go ahead, fire away.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in terms of this week, I don't think it's, as what we saw last week, I don't think you could sit here and say, wow, you know, Johnny may not play, so Austin Davis is going to be in. Look, the Steelers can't afford to do that. Mike Tomlin, again, was right on point saying they can beat anyone, but they can also lose to anyone. So I feel this week it's going to be very imperative that Pittsburgh gets the early lead. They seem to need the early lead. I think the early lead then puts pressure on the other team that allows the defense to have a better chance to get the turnovers they need to be successful. I think we know what this team is right now, particularly after last week's loss, that they need to play a certain way because of certain deficiencies they have in order to win the game. So, you know, I think it really comes down to, first and foremost, getting that early lead. They need to come out fast. They need to play fast, get a lead, and then be able to kind of put the pressure back on the Browns to have to play catch-up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the lead is important because, you know, I just did a radio interview earlier today where I was asked about the offensive game plan going into the Ravens game and the run-oriented philosophy that was brought out in the first quarter. I said they are not a first-quarter running team. They are a team that wants to get the lead, and then they want to get D'Angelo Williams going, but they want to stay balanced. But when they came out just run, that's not the makeup of this team. They're a team that wants to throw the ball. They have the talent to throw the ball. And so I think that's what they're going to do. I think that ultimately we can talk X's and O's. We can talk about matchups and all that great stuff. But it comes down to turnovers. If the Steelers don't turn the ball over, they're going to win. I honestly feel that way against any team, whether you're talking about the Denver Broncos, whether you're talking about the New England Patriots, or even the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. You don't turn the ball over, the Steelers are going to win, period. And that comes down to Ben Roethlisberger. And he's been fortunate that he got away with it against Cincinnati and against Denver. But you know what? It missed it in the butt against the Baltimore Ravens, and it can't happen again. Chris, what do you think?
My opinion, and Jeff, you and I were talking about this during the game against the Ravens. We were just so frustrated that it seemed like we were only blitzing four. We were only blitzing three. We weren't trying to bring the heat on the Ravens and make their quarterback have to make the quick reads and take away his quick options to say, like, hey, you know, if you're going to make a play, you're going to make it deeper down the field. It seemed to frustrate me. So my philosophy as far as how we need to approach the Browns game is that, look, we're going up against Johnny Manziel or Austin Davis or Chris Carter, because they're going to, if they throw some other random guy out there that we hadn't heard about in the last minute and he ends up, you know, looking at wide open targets, he's going to try and make those throws. The key is, like the great Coach Yost once said, you blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'll take every last one of you out. Bring the heat. Do not be afraid. Do not fall back because you're afraid that you might get hit with a deep pass. Play sound football. You know, trust your secondary. If they make mistakes, you just got to get on them, and they got to correct the mistake. But you cannot live in your fears. Bring the heat. Trust your guys to make the plays and to get in front of the ball, because when you play safe, you give them opportunities to get warm. And to be honest, I think a big part of what made Ryan Mallett's day was giving him the easy passes to move down the field. And when he did that, he built up self-confidence in his mind, and then he felt like he could make more throws, which led to his throw to Chris Matthews in the end zone in the first quarter, which is a great throw on his part and a great play on Chris Matthews' part, who also is the guy that, you know, kept the Seahawks alive in the Super Bowl. But as far as how the Steelers need to deal with their next opponent, they really need to be able to feel confident in the ability. You know what? Yeah, Bud Dupree is young, but, sir, you're going to blitz the quarterback. And if you don't get the quarterback, there's going to be problems, and we're going to have to put someone in because we want someone that can get the quarterback. Whether it's James Harrison, whether it's Austin Rose, whether it's Jarvis Jones, whether it's, you know, Anthony Ciccolo if he's still on the team. But my opinion is, when we're facing these guys, we need to be throwing everything at them. The kitchen sink. Just do as much as you can to throw their game off early. And then when you've rattled them, when you've built up the early, then you can think about mixing in other things. Then you can think about backing off just a little bit, just to give them like, hey, you can take the under route if you want to, but by then you're down 14 points, so you're probably looking for the big play, and now you're going to probably make the mistake that our secondary wants you to make. So that's the way that I'm looking at this next game. I really want to see the Steelers be able to put heat on someone and put away this opponent, much like they put away the Browns in the first game and the Colts in the game before the Bengals. Just put away a team that you know is not in your class and earn the win that like we know you can. But Jeff, am I wrong? Do you think that's the route that they should be approaching? Is just go in and take over on defense with the heat?
If you're going to go into a game, and if you're going to go into a contest and say, we know we're going to give up yardage anyways, then in my opinion, you might as well give up yardage while you're trying to get after the quarterback. Because clearly,
right,
what you're doing isn't working in coverage. So why would you keep playing coverage schemes when you keep getting burnt in those schemes? So in my opinion, yeah, you might as well throw the kitchen sink at them. You know, you live and die by the sword. It's kind of like Duke basketball in college. You live and die by the three-pointer. You might lose games, but you might win a lot, too. So if I'm the Steelers, yeah, shoot, throw it at them. See what they can do with it. And then if they handle it, then kudos to them. If not, they're going to give up yards anyway. That's my opinion.
You know, it's funny. Two points with that to what both of you are saying. If we're going to get after the quarterback and, you know, we're going to really send the house, then I think Tomlin and Keith Butler have to just go ahead, pull the trigger, start Cockrell, and let the secondary be Boykin, Cockrell, and Gay, and just roll with it. Because those are your three best corners right there, and the three best need to play. We have seen enough of Antoine Blake to know he is not the answer, and we need to just go with Cockrell if we're going to be sending people, because he's got a better chance of plastering receivers and staying with them and making a play than Blake does. Second point, to the offense, you know, the offense needs to play faster. They have the ability to do that. You're going to Cleveland, which there's going to be a lot of Steeler fans there. You're not going to have to necessarily worry about a super hostile environment, i.e. Seattle. So go no huddle and play fast and get these guys on their heels early. Come out doing that So then, like you said, Jeff, if you want to run the football, then you've got a lead, and it becomes a little easier to do. But if you just come out and play lethargic and allow these guys to hang around, i.e. what you did last week, you know, you're going to get beat by a team that you should beat.
Absolutely. I think that I even like the muddle huddle that they had been running up until last week, and they only did it a few occasions in the second half, if I recall correctly. I haven't watched the game twice yet. Don't really know if I want to, but still, it was, you know, where the linemen get to the line quickly, and then Ben communicates to the receivers and the tight ends what they're going to do, and then they'll read and react. And you're also not allowing the opponent to substitute if you don't substitute. So you get them in a bad sub package where, you know, you can exploit a weakness, then do it. And that's something the Steelers can do that I don't feel that they do enough. And maybe it's because they don't trust Roethlisberger to call the plays all the time. But I feel like if you can't trust him now, when are you going to trust him? And so
right.
I think that they should. And to your point on Antoine Blake and Cockrell, it might not even come down to that because Antoine Blake did not practice today with back spasms. Don't be shocked if they want to give Cockrell a chance because he's going to be with the team next year. There's a good chance Antoine Blake's not going to be because he's a free agent. And they might not want to bring him back. So they might want to see what the defense looks like with Cockrell and Gay out there and Boykin in the slot. I'm hoping that's what it looks like. Chris, what do you think about the offensive game plan now?
The offensive game plan, I feel as if, you know, as an offensive lineman in high school, I love it when we run the ball because the department is like, oh, yeah, punish him. I want to see my offensive lineman block people and knock people over. But at the same time, this offense is better suited when it is in a passing rhythm, when it has the opportunity to warm up, when Ben Roethlisberger gets those quick routes to Antonio Brown, to Marcus Wheaton. And I won't even say Martavis Bryant because he's my deep threat. I want to get it to these under guys, even Darius Hayward-Bayer, Keith Miller, where he can just bang, bang, hit these guys. They'll get 5-10 yards real quick. And that'll put the defense like, okay, we got to stop these guys. And when you drive down the field using that for a while, then that sets people off their game. That's what I like to see. And I love to see running plays that do well. But I also love to see passing plays that get further and that generate that rhythm. And then once that happens, Ben is setting up other options. Like one thing that really worked for the Broncos game, when that first first touchdown pass that Ben threw to Antonio Brown, if you noticed, Chris Harris was looking for the back shoulder pass because probably and he hadn't even hit with it yet. All that week they were probably saying, look for the back shoulder pass on Antonio Brown. They love to throw it. He's gonna do it. And in the end zone at the goal line, he looked for the back shoulder pass and Ben went right over his head to an easy touchdown for Antonio Brown. And then Chris Harris was like, crap, I fell for that. And then at the end of the game, when the Steelers just needed one third down conversion to put it away, Antonio Brown did an out route, and Chris Harris did nothing. He was like, I'm just going to – he sat back and he watched it happen as the Steelers gained the first down that won the game and ended it and put the Broncos out of their misery that game. And that was because – Ben Roethlisberger was able to pick and choose and say, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. It gave him multiple options, and it made the defense have to think, which one is he going to go to? What is he going to do to us? And when you do that, I think you give this offense a better opportunity to succeed. It's like what I told Jeff, and he brought this up on Sunday. You don't hold Steph Curry until the fourth quarter
right.
And then let him shoot threes, because then he's cold by then. You know, he doesn't have a chance to warm up, to scare the defense, to make them think about what he might do. You know, you got to give them a full game dose of what they have an opportunity to. And that way, by the time it's halftime, the defense is already scratching their heads. Like, even if you've held them to 7 points or 3 points or 10 points or whatever, you're sitting there thinking like, okay, this guy's hit us with this and this. This has worked. We have to be prepared. And then Ben Roethlisberger knows that, hey, I have the best receiving core in the NFL. I'm going to go out and test these guys. And then you get Martavis Bryant streaking down the field. Then you get Marcus Wheaton getting an under route. Then you get Antonio Brown hitching a back shoulder pass 20 yards down the field. Stuff like that, it can work. It will work. And that's what I want to see going into this Cleveland game, and also keep multiple options on the field. Don't come out in all heavy. Come out with, you know, two receivers, a tight end, and a fullback, or three receivers, a tight end, and a running back. You know, or come out with four receivers and a running back. Something that lets you know, like, hey, I could run because I have this talented running back behind me, but I also have these super powerful wide receivers that will torch you if you dare pressure the run and just give up the pass. So that's my position. That's where I think they should go with the Cleveland Browns. But Jeff, when you're looking at this offense, correct me if I'm wrong, but their best threat is when they have multiple options on the field and the defense has to respect all aspects of the game, correct?
Yeah, this is something that I've highlighted when I've done a lot of the offensive breakdowns on the website, is they are really effective when they can do both run and pass out of that bunch formation. And it's something they've run with Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes back in those days. And that bunch formation gives them a ton of options, especially in short yardage in the red zone. I'd love to see them get back to that. They've kind of gone to the spread them wide. They'll throw D'Angelo Williams out wide. It's not as big of a decoy as when Le'Veon Bell's back there. When you put Le'Veon Bell out wide, he's as much of a receiver as he is a running back, and it's not the same with D'Angelo Williams. So I'd love to see them get back. Well, Bryce, we got another few custom callers on hold. We thank you for the call as always, man. Have a happy new year.
Same to you guys. Enjoy the new year. And one more quick thing. I think the Bills will put up a good fight, but I'm sorry to say I don't think they'll be able to beat the Jets. And because we lost to the Ravens, it might be over for us, but I'm hoping it's not.
Hey, fingers crossed. Think positive thoughts, all right?
Yeah, positive thoughts. Have a good new year, guys.
You too,
hey,
Bryce.
We'll talk to you on Sunday. All right, let's get this person on the air. They've been on hold for a while. Let's get, let's see here. 925-640, you're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead. Hello, 925. Up, oh, they dropped. Figures. I had dumb Bryce, and then they hold for 12 minutes, and then we'll see if they get back on. If you're listening, you can call in. If anyone wants to call in, they can. 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581 is the way to make your voice heard to talk about anything Pittsburgh Steelers related. Now, we're at the stage in the show where we can talk a little bit more about the upcoming game, the Cleveland Browns, and people need to remember that this game, and everyone wants to assume that they're going to win. I have fallen into that trap already, not on more than one occasion. But at the same time, the Steelers have proven that last week, week 16 against the Ravens, that they can lose to anybody. And it was a great point that Mike Tomlin made, in my opinion. Let's talk about some keys to victory for the Browns. I'm going to go ahead and go first and talk about the offense. And I really have one key. If they can do this, I think the offense is going to put up enough points to win, and that is don't turn the football over. Ben Roethlisberger's statistics, honestly, he's been brilliant at times and absolutely mind-numbingly horrible at others. And a lot of it is because he's been very lackadaisical, or maybe I should say he's been a risk-taker with the football this season. And so with that being said, I think that if they can just protect the football, don't turn it over, even if they don't get turnovers on the other side of the ball, if they just don't turn it over, I don't think there's any way the Cleveland Browns can beat them. And with Johnny Manziel quarterback, he's going to be making risky throws. So you hope you can win the turnover battle. That's it. They're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to be able to throw the ball. Just don't turn it over. You don't turn it over, and you've done your job. You've won your game, and now you have to hope that the Buffalo Bills can beat the New York Jets. Chris, what do you think about defense?
Defense, you heard me. You blitz all night, and that's what's going to come down to. I think it's not going to be a night game. It's going to be a day game because it's 1 o'clock and no one cares about the Steelers versus the Browns. But I do think that when you're looking at this game, they need to bring heat. They need to bring heat from all sides, up the middle, the left side, the right side. You know, I sound like John Vicenda right now. But seriously, the Steelers have talented players who can get in the backfield, who can put the game, who can put Johnny Manziel or Austin Davis or – I don't know, Jeff George, if they bring him back. You know, anyone, just put him down. And I think that they have the players to do that. They had a sack with Boykin last week. Bring more of those, and that will confuse quarterbacks. It'll make them have to think. They'll get nervous. They'll make mistakes, get risky, make mistakes, like Miss Frizzle says in the Magic School Bus. That is my key. That is my first key to victory on defense. And second, take away the easy throws. One thing that really helped to get against the Broncos was in the second half, you saw Ryan Shazier, William Gay, and Ross Cockrell. Each of them made plays where they broke on the ball and they knocked away easy passes that that Brock Osweiler thought were just right there for him to just take away from people and to just, you know, just say, I'm going to get 5-8 yards real easy right here. Take those away. Ryan Shazier has the speed. He can explode. We need to be able to be in positions where we can come out and say, like, hey, we brought the heat on you. You're trying to make this throw. I can break on the ball. And that's, you know, that doesn't always happen because you have to play your responsibility in defense, especially when you play a zone blitz. That's part of the package deal that comes with a zone blitz. But I do think that when you're playing against a younger quarterback that's inexperienced, or, you know, even has a little bit of experience like Austin Davis does, put the pressure on him. Make him have to throw deep. And when he throws deep, then maybe your secondary players can make a play on the ball. And so, you know, again, first, bring the heat, take away the easy throws, and for goodness sake, stop the run. Now, fortunately, the Cleveland Browns are not known to torch us, their offensive line. You know, I think that we can win with with the way our defensive line and our defensive line and our linebackers play against the run. You take away the run, you force them to pass, which allows you to bring more heat, which allows your guys to play more aggressive on passing play. That is my three defensive keys. They'll seem very generic, but especially against a team that is like the Browns, they're hurting right now. Mike Pettine is thinking, like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do with this team? Apparently Johnny Manziel can't stop drinking alcohol, which is insane, and I feel very bad for the guy. It's something that you have to take advantage of. Put the pressure on him. If you're going to beat us, you're going to have to be great today. Your quarterback is going to have to put up the game of his life and have a career day today. I'm not having you just walk down the field because you saw a bunch of easy routes that weren't running. So that's where I stand. Those are my defensive keys. Take away the run, bring the heat, take away the easy throws. There you go.
All right, now I have to ask you, not only for your prediction, now I will say Lance gave me his prediction. He predicted the Pittsburgh Steelers would win 31-17, and he also predicted that the Pittsburgh Steelers would not make the playoffs because he doesn't think that the Buffalo Bills will be able to beat the Jets in Week 17. So, Chris, my question for you is, A, what is your prediction for the game and the score? And, B, do you see the Steelers getting into the postseason, or will they be a 10-6 team or 9-7 team on the outside looking in?
Okay, to answer your first question, A, the Steelers will win this game 38-10. The Browns will get a touchdown. It'll be a crazy way, and then they'll get a field goal. But the defense will lock it down for the most part. And that's whoever gets to play quarterback, whether it's Johnny Manziel or Austin Davis. There will probably be a touchdown. There will probably be some crazy play because our defense is not as locked out as it has been. But I do think that the offense is pissed. Ben Roethlisberger's pissed. He has the flu right now. He'll be back. They will be coming out. They'll be gunning. They'll be looking to put up the points because no matter what happens, their offense has to come in hot to these playoffs, and they know that, and they have to prepare their crops for rain no matter what happens. If God brings rain, they got to be ready, and that's what's going to happen with these playoffs. So they're going to be looking to gun. They're going to looking to put up these points. I'm saying 38-10. As far as the Jets-Bills game, because I am the world's ultimate homer, you know. And Jeff, we can even have a debate one day. Who's more of a homer, you or I? That would be an interesting debate. But I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills because I just think Rex Ryan wants to win this game. The Bills want to win this game. And who knows? You know, the Jets, this is the first year with their new head coach. Ryan Fitzpatrick's not a great quarterback. You know, they have a defensive front that's very young. They have Chris Ivory, who is the few players that are really spectacular team are Darrell Revis and Brandon Marshall. Those guys, elite talent. And I think that they are special players who will never, you know, overlook a game or underplay. But I do think that as a whole, they're going to be in a situation where they got to stand up and they just beat the New England Patriots, which all of them are probably still happy and psyched about. But now they got to beat these Bills, these pesky Bills, who can win one game. And, Jeff, we could do some brainstorming on this if you like. But when was the last time that the Steelers needed someone to win on week 17 so that they could get in the playoffs? And it actually worked. Because I can remember 2013, Ryan Succop, you know, missed the field goal, didn't make the playoffs. I can remember 2012, we needed like three teams to win. And it just, I can remember in 2006, in 2009, we had chances, didn't make the playoffs. I remember in 2000, when Cordell Stewart, we beat the San Diego Chargers. William Blackwell had a kick return for a touchdown, and then the Minnesota Vikings couldn't beat the young Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts. But I cannot remember one time where it worked out for us. Has it ever worked out for us, Jeff?
It goes all the way back. I think I heard on the radio today, on Steeler Nation Radio, I think it goes all the way back to almost the early portion of Bill Cowher's tenure. Mid and early 90s was the last time it has worked out. It hasn't worked out often. But most of the time, it's not a singular scenario that needs to happen. And what I mean by that is it's not Steelers win, Jets lose, they're in. Think back to 2013. They needed like four different games to fall a certain way for them to actually get in. And three of the four did. So I think it's a little bit different for me. But to answer my own question, I think the Steelers are going to win this football game. I'm going to say it's going to be 31-17. I'm going to say the same prediction. Now let's say 31-20 to make it a little bit closer. And I think the Steelers might sweat a little bit in the first half and then finally get over it and actually are able to seal the victory. And I think, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because everyone and their brother is thinking the Jets are going to roll over the Bills. But I just know what Rex Ryan can do to a team. We watched him do it for Baltimore all those years. We watched him do it in New York for the Jets. He loves to play that role of underdog. And I like him in this situation. I like him at home. I talked about it with Vito at the top of the show. I think the Steelers are actually going to get into the postseason. Would I be stunned if they didn't? No. If you've been a Steelers fan long enough, you're never stunned by something like that. But at the same time, I am actually expecting the Steelers to have a very, very good chance. And the numbers still show that the Steelers are pretty good favorites to make the postseason, 40% nearly, as I wrote that article yesterday. The percentages show that they can still make the playoffs. So it is far from impossible. It's going to be fun. I hope that we're back next Wednesday, not doing our wrap-up show, but merely by previewing our first playoff game of the 2015 AFC playoffs in the wild card round. But nonetheless, it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining. Well, as always, make sure between now and game time you check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com because it's going to have a lot of good stuff. We've got Film Room Friday for you coming up. We're going to have a lot of good quality content. We're going to break down the Jets and Bills game, even though that's not even our realm of coverage because we're a Steelers site. That's how important this game is for the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend in terms of their playoff hopes. And then after the game on Sunday, win, lose, or draw, playoffs or no playoffs, join Chris and I for the Steelers' final score as we break down and answer your questions and calls. Could be the end of the season. Could be the beginning of the second season. We'll see. Chris, thanks for your time and filling in for Lance. I'm Jeff, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Go Bills!